Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. You haven't tuned in before. This is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to Season 3, Episode 18. This one's called Allegiance. It was directed by Weinrich Kolbe, written by Richard Manning and Hans Beimler, and it was aired way back on March 26, 1990. In this episode, Captain Picard finds himself abducted from the Enterprise and held in a chamber with other prisoners, while a doppelganger replacing him behaves strangely and gives increasingly disturbing orders. We're going to be joined by Modi Operandis to talk about this one. Modi's been here before. You all love Modi. Me and him are going to get into Allegiance right after this.
I don't know why we're going with this pulsar. And creeping up on it at half impulse makes even less sense.
The captain has given unusual orders before.
I know, but this is different. He's different. I can't put my finger on it, but I'm worried.
The captain does seem detached from his emotions.
Captain. Mr. LaForge, we are operating at 96% engine efficiency. Well done.
Thank you, sir.
When we arrive at the Pulsar, I shall require everyone at their best. I know that I can rely on both of you.
Of course, Captain.
Excellent. An ale for me. And for my officers. In fact, ales for everyone. Oh. Thank you, Captain. Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet. Here. You know, back when I was in the academy, we would follow every toast with a song. I wonder if I can... Oh, yes. Come cheer up, my lads, 'tis to glory we steer, to find something new in this wonderful year. To honor we call you as free men as slaves, for who are so free as the sons of the waves? Heart of oak are our ships, jolly tars are our men. We always are ready, steady boys, steady. We'll fight and we'll conquer again and again. Come cheer up, my lads, 'tis to glory we steer.
Commander, what's the captain up to?
That's not the captain I know.
So, Modi, welcome back to the podcast. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got, we're going to be, just to spoil our hand, I guess, we're recording two with you tonight.
Yeah.
And we're going to...
Whole lot of Picard tonight too.
Yeah, we were talking before we started recording. You had mentioned that you don't think you had a like strictly Picard episode.
Yeah, this might be the first actually.
Yeah, and we're talking about Allegiance for anyone who doesn't know. It's the 18th episode of the third season. We're cooking right through the third season, but we are up to Allegiance, which has come after probably the strongest run of episodes that the show has done so far. Where you had yesterday's Enterprise, The Offspring, and then Sins of the Father.
It's getting incredibly watchable here,
yeah.
I gotta say.
Yeah,
it's
it is.
It's incredibly watchable.
Which is funny. These next ones are two Picard episodes, like we said. We have Allegiance and then Captain's Holiday after this one. Mm-hmm. I will say right off the bat, I think these are slightly a letdown from the three that I just mentioned beforehand. I don't think they're terrible episodes, and I want you to sort of maybe move me in one direction or the other. So,
sure.
What do you think about Allegiance?
Allegiance, it had some weird, annoying moments with the archetype characters and the prison thing of the pacifist and the aggressionist and the
anarchist,
the observer. Yeah, the anarchist, right? Exactly. And it's this. I don't know. The pacifist guy was super duper annoying.
Yeah,
but And then, yeah, some weird Focard moments on the Enterprise.
Yeah, yep.
Of the singing was interesting.
Yeah, this episode has the eminently quotable, "Here's to the best crew in Starfleet."
Oh, yeah, we'll get into that, I think.
Yeah, it's, I guess the way I always think of this one is, I remember liking this episode a lot when I was younger. And I don't think it really holds up now that I watch it as I'm older. I think the concept is really cool, and I'm always a sucker for locked room mysteries.
Sure.
I love movies. I can't think of all their names now. There's a couple on Netflix. There's one with Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman where they're in like a motel room for the entire movie. I like that movie. But I like movies and films and TV episodes that take place in a single room, because I think you really have to have strong writing to carry those movies and those episodes, and I really love strong writing. The writing here is not good enough to carry the episode.
No,
unfortunately. No, and my way to fix this episode, I think, even though I'm going to hedge this later after we talk about it, but my way to fix it would be, I wish they had spent the entire time in the prison cell.
Okay, I mean, I don't know. It would actually be I think too dry at that point if they just did the prison stuff.
Yeah,
there'd have to be a lot more going on in there.
There would. They'd actually have to come up with a reason. The basic problem with this episode is I don't really understand the reason as to why any of this is going on. Like, I understand that these aliens want to test authority or something like that, and
yeah,
but nothing of the plot mechanics really reinforce that.
Right, I was thinking that. The Focard on the ship, supposedly they're here because they don't have, they're completely telepathic or whatever, they're hive mind, they don't have leadership in their race, so they're studying leadership, but the character on the ship does not really do anything that's going to be testing leadership. He's mostly testing, like, the ability for them to follow orders, and to what point they'll stop following orders, mostly.
Right, yeah.
But it doesn't really seem like everything he's doing, like, there's no point for him to do the thing with Beverly, there's no point for him to go to, like, do the testing on, he keeps giving Geordi more and more efficiency tasks.
Yeah, minor.
He keeps giving Riker more and more, like, odd requests. He keeps making Wesley go slower and slower.
Yes, just, yeah.
There's no continuity between anything he's doing. Maybe the point is to be erratic, but it doesn't seem like that achieves the goals of observation, I think.
Right. That's everything he seems to be doing seems to be purely like a mechanism of plot where they're like, we need to have him do stuff until the end of this episode. You know, it's like,
right,
like you said, they drive at like an exceptionally slow speed to get to this pulsar,
yeah,
which doesn't make any sense. Like, why is he putting the crew through a suicide mission?
Yeah, first of all, he's like making him slower and slower and slower to like have impulse power.
Yep.
And then finally he's like, okay, go right into the sun then. Drive right. on in. Like, it doesn't, like, that's the final thing that puts him over the edge, I guess.
Right.
But
yeah.
It doesn't seem like killing them is going to really achieve any of their research goals here.
Right.
So,
and doing it causes the crew to react, like, right, to ruin the experiment. Mutiny. You know, he should have been extremely, like, bland almost. Just,
yeah, he
like,
should have done nothing.
Right,
yeah, if he really wanted to observe him, he should have been the biggest Picard he could possibly be, instead of, like, being this weird version of Picard.
Right.
And testing them with a different version of Picard. He could have just been just trying to play it as narrowly as possible to the real thing.
Yep.
Without diverging at all, and see how long it takes them to catch on what's going on. They probably wouldn't have.
Right,
had he not done anything so irrational and crazy.
I know.
Which also is interesting that the things that bring the crew to the attention of the imposter are things that make him seem oddly human. So, like, carousing with the gang and, like, reminiscing about old times, and, like, he's actually being more of a human being in these kind of situations than actual Picard is, and that's the thing that tips them off?
Yeah,
that he's being actually more human?
It is a weird contrast. Like, it only makes you realize that, like, Picard in command is kind of an untouchable dick, sort of. Like,
yeah,
he's not really that
yeah.
bad, but he's certainly not friendly with the crew. Like you're saying, like, him being friendly is a huge tip off to everyone that
right.
something has gone wrong.
yeah, this is not our, that's not my captain, or something like that, in fact, yeah, that's what Picard says. That's not the captain I know.
That's not the captain I know. The captain I know doesn't order free alcohol for everyone else.
Which, come on, I mean, they have replicators. What, it doesn't, there's no reason to order a round for the bar, because everyone has their own rounds. No one's paying for any of these drinks, no matter what they want to do.
No, it's absolutely
free.
Nothing.
It's free.
It was a grand gesture.
There's no money.
That everyone on the crew was like, oh, thanks, Captain.
Great,
it's like, none of this costs any money. Two ale. And I really wish he had, when Picard ordered his beer, I really wish he had just, like, finished the thing in one swig, you know, and then just started singing.
Slammed it on the counter.
Singing an
obscure
song. And
just launched right into the song after that. He just chucks it and then launches right into the song after that, yeah.
My favorite moment of that scene was Worf pretending to know the lyrics to the
that
song.
That was pretty good, too.
Which is
that was really good.
I guess that's a real song. I don't.
Oh,
I'm not
I imagined it was like some old Navy song or something. Yeah,
yeah, exactly, an old Navy song. But I think that's my major issue with this episode is I can see the strings like pulling everything. Nothing feels like it's naturally flowing out of this story as to what's going on. You know, I don't understand why the captain is particularly faux Picard is particularly bad at his. Job that's only done so that the crew becomes aware of him. The stuff in the cell is like really bland. They don't really solve anything. There's nothing there that you're like impressed by the way that they put everything together.
They don't have a logical chain of events to bring them to suspect that one of them is an imposter.
Right.
Because all of a sudden Essoc's just like, how do we know it's not this guy? Just out of like just pure paranoia, I guess. But there's no reason for him character-wise to suspect that it'd be anybody in the room at that point. But then after that happens, then like everyone's considering it.
Yeah,
but there's no real thing that draws him to that conclusion ever.
No, I agree. It feels it does feel forced. You just come in on this conversation where they're talking about it like this. It's just like, we can't trust you. And then the next person is like, well, we can't trust you, and we can't trust you. And I don't know if that's the theme they're going for, or they're just trying to sort of get the episode moving so that we can figure out.
But there was no seed of that planted earlier. If they wanted to do suspicion among the prison there, they should have like planted some type of seed of that earlier so that there'd be suspicion. Even have the one that actually ended up being the suspect somehow work it so that she became the first one to be suspicious and maybe turns it on everybody else. I don't know exactly. But there was no seed of doubt there ever.
Right.
I feel like.
No, I completely agree. It's sort of bad writing. You know what? A minor change I would have done, I wouldn't have made her another Starfleet officer.
Yeah, that was a mistake too.
I don't know why they
did
that.
An incredibly knowledgeable Picard fan too, apparently.
Yeah, and that's what gives them away. Although this is the only time I've ever realized that because I'm watching all these episodes in a row, the stuff that she mentions are things that actually happened in previous episodes.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of cute. Like the Mintaka 3 that clues him in the very first time is the Who Watches the Watchers episode where the hidden base is exposed to the aliens that are pre-warp. And they find Picard and they call him like the god Picard or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That's that episode.
Are we in this world, they're studying like, okay, if she's not lying, then it makes sense to Picard that they'd be teaching cadets about him. Like, there's a course on Picard in the academy?
No, I think, well, that's what clues him in. He says there's no reason a cadet should know that. And then he brings up the fire plague or whatever the fuck he was talking about, which is the
which
thing.
Is classified, yeah.
Which is the thing they had also just finished in the, like, when the show opens. He's like, we're just getting done curing this plague.
Yeah.
So even if it wasn't classified, there's no real reason it, like, news
it would be known.
News would get back to her about that.
Sure.
So that's fine. I really wish she wasn't a Starfleet cadet because you immediately get suspicious just because she's exactly the same as him for no reason. Like, why not have a random alien in there?
Right.
Especially having...
I guess Picard breaks down the archetypes of the... We mentioned it before, the pacifist, the anarchist, the obedience person, and the leadership person.
Yeah,
but
the commander.
The kind of the pacifist and the obedience, you know, order taker are kind of the same thing. So you don't have kind of redundant archetypes there anyways. So right off the bat, she seems like she's suspect then.
I feel like Picard was going through his list and he's like, oh, this doesn't... He's like, you're... He's
yeah,
like,
doesn't add up.
You're the collaborator. You're the anarchist. I'm the commander.
Leader?
She's the person who obeys
follower?
My commands. It's like, yeah, this, yeah okay. You can see it all falling apart in front of his eyes as he's trying to get through this thing. Yeah, it's I do like the locked room aspect mystery. Like, they don't do anything with it. Like, the most they do is the food is apparently poison to Esok or whatever his name is.
So he says. I think he just didn't like the flavor of it.
Yeah, because, I mean, would you know if you lick something, would you be like, that's poison?
Yeah, no. I think he just didn't like it.
I just know
he's kind of picky eater.
Not to eat berries. That's about it. Like, you don't eat berries and you don't eat mushrooms that you find out in the wild.
Yeah, don't eat wild mushrooms, kids.
But I do, I always want to eat that little red disc, because Picard takes a bite out of it, so it must be edible.
A big old bite, yeah.
I just don't know what it is. But my absolute favorite part of this episode, which is what I was going to say, is conflicting with what I said earlier, which I wish everything was inside the room. I do love the mutiny scenes where...
When they're discussing the mutiny in the one, yeah, when they're all discussing it, like, we don't have enough evidence yet, but it's suspect, and like, yep. I kind of like that scene, yeah.
Which is virtually a like shot-for-shot remake of... the other episode where they discuss mutant, where Picard, Lonely Among Us, I think, where Picard gets taken over by the aliens. They have a similar scene where the other senior staff talk about whether or not they need to mutiny against Picard. It's done a lot better here.
Yeah, it's all these tight close-ups of faces and stuff in a dark room. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, you just reminded, there are a lot of close-ups in that. I felt this episode had a ton of shots that were out of focus. Did you notice that?
I didn't. I was watching. I watched it once on the TV and then once on an iPad. So the most recent time was on an iPad, so I didn't really notice focus.
Yeah,
too much.
Hard to notice at that point. Yeah. I felt like a lot of them were out of focus, but it was strange. I don't understand why Riker didn't bring everyone drinks when he sat down at the beginning. He only brought a couple drinks and people just grabbed them. I do like the fact that Worf is always the least like happy about mutiny in all situations.
Yeah, he's the most obedient, right? Yeah. Most honorable.
He should be. Yeah, he should be the Starfleet cadet.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like the scene where Picard is trying to drive them into the pulsar for no reason, and they mutiny against him.
Of course, they don't have a choice. They're either going to die or they're going to mutiny. That's the only options he's given them. So it doesn't really teach him anything about leadership there.
No, it doesn't.
He just pushes them to a breaking point where he will kill all of them and they have to finally do something.
It gives us a lot of cool shots. A lot of
that's true.
The other direction thing is there are a lot of shots in this one where it's a single shot. One person is looking sideways at the camera and the other person is looking directly at the camera, like in the background. Riker and Picard do it in his ready room, and then the aliens at the end do it in their little thing. I always like those shots. They're super, super melodramatic, but they work for this kind of show, I think. What'd you think of the aliens?
Kind of squirrely. I guess. I don't know. They were weird.
I think they're so terrible.
They had like some moral superiority over people who talk, and then the whole thing with like Picard's like, unintelligent voices that we didn't use here clued us into, you know, somehow subtly tell him to capture them, which I don't really see that. Rewatching it, I don't really see the nod say capture them.
No, but, I don't either. I don't know how Riker puts that together when Picard just walks around and Riker gives him like the oh yeah nod. I know what you're
it's
doing.
Go time. Yep.
It's time to maneuver. Put them in a pink force field. I hate the aliens in this. I wish they had almost not shown them and just had them do like voiceover or something like that.
Yeah, just making them energy beings or something like that again. Just do more energy beings.
You can't have these races that are like your primitive vocal stylings as they're talking to us. Right. You know, and they clearly talk like
you evolved with vocal cords as well. So
right. It's obviously
doesn't track.
You haven't lost them. You still have them. You still speak perfect English to everybody.
They're like the hipsters, though. They're like, we were talking before it was cool.
We were talking way before anybody else was. Yeah. I think their little outfits are stupid. I think they look stupid and they're annoying.
They look dumb, yeah. Overall, nothing good. I mean, why couldn't they? I don't know. They look dumb. They just look dumb.
I don't know what the show did it with the Ferengi. They do it here. I don't know what their infatuation with having aliens be played in an annoying manner. Like where they're like either fidgety or sort of like something just really obnoxious about the way that they talk to people.
And I'm always like suspect, especially with Ferengi, that it's some type of racist thing.
Yes.
That's like subtly worked its way in, especially with Ferengi. But like, I don't know. I don't know what they're going for with a lot of the time there either.
Right. Yeah. It does seem vaguely racist for no particular reason. Just like,
right.
Or just like humans are clearly better than them.
Yeah.
You know, and we
start
don't...
assigning. There's a lot of beings here where there's no, like, superiority. There's, like, you know, it's all very egalitarian and, like,
yep.
you know, Klingons and even Klingons don't even get, like, the whole barbarianism from humans, it seems like.
Right.
Vulcans, it seems like they're pretty, like, I mean, the Vulcans, I believe, feel themselves a little superior to humans, but they really kind of just respect everyone.
Right. At least they're calm about it, you know. They it's like the sports thing. It's like, if you're better, you just don't rub it in people's faces. You just kind of, you know,
right,
you're a good sportsman,
right.
or something.
We don't need to prove that we're better than you. We know it, so we're not going to bring it up.
Exactly.
Kind of thing.
Right. You're not going to talk trash after you just thrash somebody. It's just
whereas
poor,
the Ferengi
poor
are kind of just on the defensive for that kind of thing of, like, trying to assert themselves when they are having inferiority complexes. Mostly,
yep.
I think.
Yep. Exactly. The only other thing I really wanted to talk about was the Dr. Crusher Picard dinner scene. What are your thoughts here?
I kind of laughed at the end when she came back and just kind of looks at him. When she sits
at
down next to him
end.
At the bridge at the
yep.
very end.
Yep.
That was kind of a good moment. I wish they could have done more with that, because he just kind of has, like, at the end there, he's just kind of like, someone clued me in and what happened while I was gone, kind of thing. And if she would have, like, overplayed it, like sat on his lap or something like that, it really, like, just played into it, knowing what actually happened, just messed with him.
Yeah.
That would have been interesting, kind of, because it seems like she's still, like, at the end she gets spurned with he's just, like, goodnight at the end and kicks her out.
Yeah, he's negging her. He's doing
yeah.
A24.
Yeah, he totally is.
And she's totally into it.
She's like, I was into it now, and now you are playing games with me, kind of thing, and, like... You know, she could have turned about as fair play kind of thing at the end, where she's messing with him, and he's not going to have any idea what's going on.
I wouldn't have done that on the bridge. You know, I think they could have a scene where they, like, walk past each other in a corridor or something, and you could have had something clever.
Yeah.
Just so it's not totally... It's a little
totally
weird that she comes onto the bridge anyway and just sits
down. Yeah, she doesn't ever sit there. Yeah.
Right, yeah. So I don't know. It just seems odd that she's there. But if they sort of interacted with each other in a private, like, corridor scene or something, it would have been fine.
But again, the thing that draws suspicion to Focard here is that he's acting more human. Like, he talks to Beverly about how, you know, I've kind of been thinking about us and that kind of thing. Like, he's actually acting like a person.
Yeah,
and that's what's suspicious about him.
No, it's he's acting like a person there. I think this is maybe one of the most like, blatant interactions between them that's romantic. I can't think of any other example. There's that episode where they get bonded together, and that's, like, the focus of that one.
Well, that's way later, later seasons.
Right. I think that's the last season. But this is clearly, like, the closest they've ever been, and it's kind of disappointing that they just drop it at this point.
Well, also, it's disappointing that you know it's happening. Well, I guess you don't know at the time that it's happening with the... I guess you do. You know from the start that it's a fake Picard on the Enterprise. So it's kind of disappointing that it's happening not with an actual Picard, too.
Yeah.
That he's not actually exploring this kind of thing emotionally. And he doesn't actually have any emotions in real life.
Right, yeah. He's just... he's
all business.
With his blousy shirt and just doing his power move of getting her all hot and bothered and then being like, let's call it a night.
Sorry.
Just stands by the door with his hand on it. Oh,
I got
man.
A headache. Maybe next time, baby.
Doesn't even walk her back. Doesn't even
no,
walk her back to
her. Out.
Just get out of here. Just go on. I find that scene to be, it's like right on the border of cringy. I'm watching it. I'm like, ooh, this is gonna get bad. It never gets super bad, I think, because they're both pretty decent actors, and they don't allow this material to really drag them down. But it feels like it could easily veer somewhere awkwardly.
Yeah, it's I don't know. There's kind of a lot of odd turns in there. Where she's like, you know what? I like our relationship how it is.
Yep.
And he's like, let me turn the music on. How do you feel now? And then she's like, oh, I kind of am into it now, actually.
Dance with
me. I was wrong about our relationship, actually, a second ago. And then he just negs her at the end of it. So, I don't know. It's a lot of turns and twists and turns here.
Yeah,
with an irrational character, actually, because he's kind of just doing weird tests on her, actually.
Right. It's sort of clever because it's not real Picard. It's Focard, as we're saying.
Uh-huh.
So he, like, you sort of escape the cringiness just because you know it's not the real character, which is clever. I guess it really just ties into the fact that I think this episode came out of the fact that Patrick Stewart had asked for a little bit more range in his episodes. And this is one because he does, he's so clearly the best actor out of everyone in this crew, but he just so clearly plays the two Picards very differently.
Yeah, for sure.
And a lot of it's, you know, the plot demands that the second Picard is weird, but it goes beyond him just saying stuff. He's like, his tone is totally different. And it's like if you had them say the exact same lines, he would read each line differently for each Picard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even the stuff where he's just giving orders to the crew, like he's talking to Data and he's asking Data about like how long will it take us to get to this thing, or he switches over to Crusher or Wesley Crusher just like immediately after that without just like letting him finish.
Yep.
He stops talking for like half a second and he jumps on to the next thing, like he doesn't even care about the answer kind of thing.
Yeah, yep.
And I like that. It was very interesting telling, like he doesn't actually care about the answers they're giving him, he just wants to hear what he wants to hear and just go on.
Right.
So it's a very different kind of Picard that doesn't even like, normally he'd take a half a second and like process what he heard and then, you know, move on.
Yeah, he does.
But he almost cuts off Data there and moves on to Wesley.
The little nod or whatever, just like the Picard nod when someone tells him something.
Yeah.
It's the same with Geordi in the poker room where he's like, Geordi, I want the engine efficiency to go up to 95 instead of 93. And Geordi's like, oh, we'll do it now. He's like, no, you do it.
Don't
whatever.
Worry about it. Yeah, yeah, exactly. The urgency.
Whatever.
Like, yeah, Picard, the real Picard's not going to give any order that isn't like immediate. Like,
right.
If it's not immediate, he's not going to give an order.
Right.
Like, just, and also, like, the whole like thing, like, oh, I'm just going to observe you for a minute. And then like half a hand later, he's like, can I actually borrow Deanna quick?
Yeah,
You didn't observe very long, buddy.
Well, I think he watches one bet and Deanna wins. Yeah. And he's like broadly applauding. He's like, he's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful hand. Can I borrow Deanna? Very, very weird.
Yes, very strange.
It's also been, it's something I've been noticing, We haven't seen a lot of Data. I know we just had the Offspring, but Data is sort of oddly off to the side in a lot of these episodes. He really doesn't have a lot to do. This one, it's obviously mostly a Picard thing, but it's been a recurring theme for this season. Not a lot of Data.
They give him like two lines. I guess they gave Geordi like three lines, though, only two in this one. So
yes.
They're kind of letting Picard have his moment here.
I think it's just based more on, I always think Data is like, before watching these all the way through, I always figured Data was like very heavily present in a lot of the stuff, and he's not. Same with Picard, who has not had a lot of episodes to himself.
That's true.
For whatever reason. I assume these things are going to change because that's the way I remember them all. Yeah, but it's an odd little thing. But let's I think we can wrap it up there. I've talked about everything I wanted to talk about. Did you have any other points that you wanted to bring up?
No, let's go to final scores.
All right, so I'm going to play an audio clip, and right after this, we're going to come back with our final scores.
Captain, number 4 shield has failed. Increasing power to number 3 shield to compensate.
Helm, move us closer. 10 million kilometers.
Sir, at that distance, the ship will not withstand the magnetic fields and radiation. We will not survive.
Take us in, Mr. Crusher.
Belay that order.
You're relieved of duty, Commander. Mr. Worf, confine Mr. Riker to his quarters.
So, Mr. Modi, what are you going to give Allegiance on our scale of 1 to 5, 1 being truly terrible, 5 being an all-time classic? What are you going to give Allegiance?
I am going to give Allegiance a 3.5 because, as I said at the beginning of the episode, these episodes are getting, even if they're not good, they're incredibly watchable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a very interesting episode, even if it's not a very well-written or executed episode. There's great Picard moments in it, a lot of like very broad Picard on the ship, and there's a lot of fun moments in it, and even if it's not a great episode, it's still watchable, very, very watchable.
Yeah, I think it's totally watchable. I'm sort of the other way on you. I would either give this like a 2.5 or a 3. Since I don't give 0.5s, I'll round this up to a 3. Mostly, I think, on the strength of the mutiny scenes, which I think are really good. And I just I like the concept. I think this is a pretty middling Star Trek episode, all things considered. But as you said, they're getting much better at making the middling more enjoyable.
Right,
And which is really all I can ask for. But I don't think this one is fantastic. I do remember liking it a lot more than I did on these recent rewatches. I just wish the concept was explored a little bit better than what they give us here.
Yeah, they could have fit the themes of what actually was going on the screen with what the actions were happening.
Why is it called Allegiance?
That's also another good question. Another out of left field title for no reason.
Yeah,
I guess allegiance of the crew on the ship to Picard,
to leadership, I guess.
What point do they break in actually mutiny? What it's going to take to get them to do that?
I guess.
I feel like what
the characters say this episode is about changes every minute in the last like 15 minutes of this show. You know, it's like I guess that's what it's about. I wouldn't really argue that that is what the plot is trying to say, but I guess it still works better than any of the Q titles. I'll give it that.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, they could have tweaked this a little bit and made it a much better episode had they made If they had made the ship folk Picard played a little more close to the actual Picard,
yes,
and let the suspicion build more slowly,
yep.
So the act of mutiny is actually more of a guess than it is a known quantity, like it is for the audience here. The audience knows it's like they're completely in the right to mutiny, but if they made it a little more like, are we doing the right thing?
Yeah,
it could have been more interesting, maybe.
That's interesting. It's because that's basically the opposite of my thing, where I'd have only Picard in the room. If you eliminated the room for a good portion of it, and just made the crew wary of Picard. Although I will argue they do that much better in the Clues episode, which I've mentioned before is one of my favorites. It's the one where the crew gets knocked out and Data is the only one that was awake for the entire time they were knocked out, and then they slowly start realizing that he's lying to them about what happened.
Oh yeah, that's a good episode.
Which is a fantastic episode. And it works a little bit better because it's Data. And it's kind of creepy. But that would be the same idea here. But unfortunately, or fortunately rather, they get that episode out on paper and on celluloid later on. So we have that to look forward to. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm gonna give this one a 3. I think it's a pretty. I don't disagree with your 3.5. I think it's possibly like maybe a strong middling episode.
Sure.
But yeah. Any final thoughts?
No. Thanks for having me back again.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming back. And guys, if you enjoyed the content, you're listening on YouTube, a like and a comment's appreciated. If you're on iTunes, rating review always helps out. Helps the show shoot up those rankings and other people can listen and follow along as we're going to finish out The Next Generation sometime over the next part of my life.
Decade.
Well, you guys can check out Modi. I'll put that new little YouTube thing where you can link to other people's channels now. I'll do that. Ooh. You can check him out. And thanks again, Modi, for coming on.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're going to be back next with Captain's Holiday. So look forward to that. See you guys.
With me. I'll be back.